ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text 32. Ekada kritamanas te Ramadya gopadaraka Krishna midam bhakshitavan iti matre nyavedayan. Ekada. Once upon a time, Kridamana. Now Krishna, being still more grown up, was playing with other children of the same age. They Rama Adaya. Balaram and others, Gopadarakaha, other boys born in the same neighborhood of the cowherd men. Krishna mridam bakshitavan. O mother, Krishna has eaten earth. A complaint was lodged. Iti, thus, Matre, unto Mother Yashoda, Nyavedayan, they submitted. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One day, while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the Gopas, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Yashoda. Mother, they submitted, Krishna has eaten earth. Purport. Here is another of Krishna's transcendental activities invented to please the gopis. First, a complaint was lodged with Mother Yashoda about Krishna's stealing, but Mother Yashoda did not chastise him. Now, in an attempt to awaken Mother Yashoda's anger so that she would chastise Krishna, another complaint was invented that Krishna had eaten earth. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyuari Paschatya De Shatarine. So in the previous section of this chapter entitled Lord Krishna Shows the Transuniversal Form, there was an attempt made for Yashoda to chastise Krishna. That attempt was made by the elderly gopis. And Krishna, whose name is Gopijana Ballabha, he gave pleasure to these elderly gopis by going to their homes, stealing their milk, yogurt, and butter, pinching their children, urinating in their temple rooms, doing all types of naughty mischief. And the mothers, they would go to Mother Yashoda on a regular basis in a group and complain to her that you have to control your child. You must chastise him. But when they began to describe all the naughty activities that he performed, seeing him looking from side to side, frightened, his face changing color, they became so absorbed in his beauty and his qualities that no one wanted to chastise him. Now Krishna, because he's Rasaraj, these rasas, they originate from Krishna, the five principal and the seven intermittent, the gonaras. These 12 rasas are everything both within the spiritual and the material perverted upside down world. Either we're enjoying with Krishna these different tastes of love directly, or in a perverted manner, we're trying to enjoy on a temporary basis with other faulty living entities. So now, Krishna, having been unable to convince his mother to chastise him, because this is a playful act of children. They love to see their mothers get angry and chase after them, put their finger like that, grab their ear. For them, it's fun. And one day, long before Prabhupada even had written the Krishna book, long before the 10th canto was being translated by Srila Prabhupada, after Prabhupada had his stroke in 1967, he realized his days were numbered. He was an old man, any time he could go. And before he left, he wanted to make sure that his disciples had the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is the summum bonum. This is what everyone is seeking, hearing the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. So he decided that he would do a summary translation of this 10th canto in the form of what he called the Krishna book. And he personally designed the big size of the Krishna books, and he also designed every single painting that went into that book. So one day, because no one had heard the pastimes of Krishna before in this lifetime, one day, Prabhupada, he called two of his artists, Bhardraj and Janava. The artists were all working together at that time in Boston, and Prabhupada would send letters or instructions, but this time he called them personally. And he began describing a leela that they had never heard before. That one day, Krishna had eaten dirt. Mother Yasoda grabbed his hand so he wouldn't run away. And even Balaram had complained against him. And she said, "Have you eaten dirt? I have so many sweets in the house. Why are you eating dirt?" And Krishna, just like a little boy, any child, when they fear punishment, they'll say anything so they won't get punishment. They'll lie, they'll anything at all so they won't get punished by their mothers. So he said, no, I didn't eat dirt. All my friends are liars. How is that possible? Even your own brother is saying you ate dirt? So Prabhupada explained that when a child is highly intelligent, he's also naughty. He said Krishna was naughty, Lord Chaitanya was naughty, and I was also naughty. So this is an example of when Krishna was very naughty. He played this trick on his mother, and then when his mother insisted, "No, all the boys said that you've eaten dirt. Open your mouth, I want to see." So then, when he opened his mouth, and then because the devotees had never heard this before, Krishna opened his mouth, and there Mother Yasoda saw within his mouth, and then Prabhupada started to describe to them all the things that Mother Yasoda saw. She saw the whole universe. She saw all the planets. She saw all of the different elements. She saw the mountains, the rivers, the streams, the living entities, moving and non-moving. And Prabhupada went on for 5 minutes describing all the things that Mother Yasoda saw in Krishna's mouth. And the two artists, as Prabhupada was describing, they were leaning forward more and more, listening to what Prabhupada was saying, till they were almost right next to Prabhupada, in such awe of what Mother Yasoda had seen. Then all of a sudden, Prabhupada stopped, and he looked at Bhardwaj, and he said, "Now paint this." And they were completely shocked. They fell over as if losing their balance. How are they going to paint all these things that Prabhupada just described in 5 minutes? It's Prabhupada's order. He had just told them what to do. So months later, Bhardwaj, he still didn't know how he was going to put all those things into Krishna's mouth. So he wrote a letter to Prabhupada. He was an excellent artist. He wrote to Prabhupada, "In all due honesty, I cannot understand how to put the whole universe into Krishna's mouth." So then Prabhupada, in response, he sent back a hand-painted drawing that he made on a piece of paper. And on that paper was a stick figure of Mother Yasoda standing. And there was a stick figure, you know, stick figure means a circle and a one line and then the legs and then the arms. So then there was a stick figure of Krishna sitting. And then coming out of Krishna's mouth was a balloon. And in the balloon were all the things that Mother Yasoda saw. So if you ever see the original Krishna book, you'll see that beautiful painting that Bhardwaj drew according to Prabhupada's instructions from this drawing. Beautiful painting. And that painting, if you ever go to Montreal, Canada, that painting is in the front of the temple there for you to have darshan. So the devotees had no concept of Krishna Leela at this time until the Krishna book was printed, about 1970, finally, in three parts. Now, after Prabhupada translated the first 9 cantos to give us a background, to give us a foundation for approaching Krishna Leela, he then began the 10th canto. And up to the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, Prabhupada very meticulously translated all of these chapters. This 13th chapter was done by Prabhupada primarily while he was lying on his bed here. Sometimes he'd be sitting upstairs in his room, but he would be lying in his bed. You can see the pictures, them holding the microphone to his mouth. He couldn't move, he couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he couldn't eat. Still he was translating for our benefit. So the question was, after Prabhupada left, how are we going to continue the translation? So last year, when we were all locked down, it was much stricter lockdown last year than this year. Temple was completely sealed. The devotees were just depending, lifeline, on whatever nectar they could get, whatever they could hear through online. Anyway, everyone was locked in their houses all over the world practically. So we decided at that time to do a detailed comparison of the two subject matters. What Prabhupada translated in the Krishna book and what Prabhupada translated in the 10th canto. Because we wanted to know, was it safe to read beyond the 13th chapter of the 10th canto? I also wondered. So I did this detailed study every day, a few verses. And it turns out that every single paragraph in the Krishna book is practically exactly the same as Prabhupada translated in his 10th canto translation. And sometimes when Prabhupada, even in the Krishna book, it wasn't only translations. Prabhupada would give his purports along with the translations. He would take those purports from the 10th canto. This isn't obvious unless you do this detailed comparison. He would take those purports that he had dictated in this Krishna book and exactly transpose them as his purports into the 10th canto as he was speaking. He would say, you take this much and you put it as the purport. So there was no difference between Prabhupada's translation in the Krishna book and what was being translated in the 10th canto. So therefore, we were able to proceed very safely, because if there were any questions, we just had to refer to the Krishna book. Prabhupada left out nothing. He even purported everything that was happening. So now we have the ongoing naughty activities of Krishna. Now, when Krishna was very small, he was so attached to his mother. But as any human child, and you even see this in the animals, in the monkeys, you can watch, we get a lot of opportunity to watch the monkeys during the lockdown. The small babies, they'll hold on tightly to their mothers. But as they grow and they see the other little monkeys playing around, they want to join the monkeys. So they'll jump out, they'll play, and then they'll run back to their mothers. So Krishna, playing the part of an ordinary human child, he did exactly the same thing. So attached to his mother. But he wanted to play with the other children. So he would, learning how to walk, he would very slowly walk out, and then he would turn around and run back to his mother. Then, as Krishna and Balaram got older, Nanda Maharaj, after the three demons, Putana, Shakadasura, Trinavarta, well, he made an order, complete lockdown for Krishna and Balaram. They can't go out of the house. You just keep them busy in the house, because I don't want any more demons coming and trying to take them or kill them. So the two boys had been in the house their whole childhood since that time. And Krishna, growing up, he now could walk, he was playing, he was learning how to talk. He wanted to go out and play with the other children. So that was the first time Mother Yasoda was feeding Krishna. And he halfway opened his mouth. She saw inside of his mouth for the first time the universal form. And she was completely stunned. And Nanda Maharaj, he was sitting there with her. And he saw her stunned. She couldn't move. He said, "What happened? Haven't you listened to me? You haven't kept him inside this whole time?" She said, "Yes, I've kept him inside. I've done everything you ordered, but it's useless." And then she described the universal form that she saw in his mouth. And Nanda Maharaj, he thought, he understood from Garuda Muni, this is not an ordinary child, this is Narayana Sama. So therefore, he said, "From now on, you just let him go and play. We cannot stop this child because he's non-different from Narayan." So then he began to play with the other children. He would go out. First, he learned how to steal from the other houses. Now, the other boys, this was not their proclivity, because the Sakas, they have such an elevated status. Later, we'll read in the 12th chapter, verses 7 to 11, 5 verses are dedicated to the description of what an elevated platform these cowherd boys are on, and how they attained that platform. They spent lifetimes performing austerities. Brahmacharya, Sama, Dhamma, Tyaktva, Dan, Satya, Socham, all of the qualities of knowledge. They became expert, and they never deviated. This not one lifetime, but many lifetimes, they performed these austerities. And finally, they were able to attain the direct association of Sri Krishna in the form of cowherd boys being born in the same neighborhood as Nanda Maharaj's home. So these boys were completely, it's called Satya Kalpa, when they take complete determination to be truthful. But Krishna was their guru. And Krishna, he would lie, he would cheat, he would steal. Now he's trying to make his mother angry. So he taught these boys how to do all these things. He was their guru. He told them, you go urinate on the floor there. And then he would spit. Krishna would spit on the floor also. And he taught them how to steal. He taught them how to lie to their mothers. He taught them anything, because this was their pleasure as naughty boys. So now, Krishna had to think of another way to make his mother angry, because she hadn't chastised him after his stealing. So this is a very common activity of a small child. It even has a medical term. It's called geophagia. Geophagia means when kids eat dirt. And they eat dirt for different reasons. First of all, anamoya, whatever, a little baby, whatever they have in their hand, they put in their mouth. My mother tells me one time when I was a little baby, couldn't walk, I saw a caterpillar and I picked it up and put it in my mouth. Kids don't know what's what at that time. So children, they put everything in their mouth. Now Krishna's the Supreme Lord, we know that. But he's playing like an ordinary human child. So he is displaying all of the activities of an ordinary child. According to Mother Yasoda, he's a perfectly ordinary child. Mother Yasoda later, she'll offer prayers that someone else may say he's a Supreme Lord, someone else may say he's Brahman in personal form, he's the personification of Paramatma. But Nanda Maharaj and I know he's just an ordinary child. And this we know from example, from our own experience. If I don't give him milk, he cries. If he doesn't see me, he cries. So this child Krishna, playing as an ordinary child, one day, just like all children do, he ate dirt. And that day he happened to go out to play with Balaram, Sridham, Sudham, and Vasudham. And these boys were sent with Krishna, particularly by Mother Yasoda, to make sure he didn't do any mischief. So what did he do? That day he ate dirt. Immediately they ran to Mother Yasoda. Krishna's eaten dirt. So she goes after her son. She grabs him by the arm because she's afraid he's going to run away. He can't get away because the mother's got a hold of him. You naughty boy, did you eat dirt? No, 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 Mata. They're all liars. They're all telling lies against me. But even your brother says you ate dirt. No, no, they made a conspiracy against me. What happened was, the real thing that happened was, these boys, they had all stolen sweets from their houses. And they were secretly showing each other the sweets they had stolen and eating those sweets. I didn't want to eat those sweets. So they were afraid I was going to tell you. So they took dirt and they forcibly put it in my mouth to make you think that I had eaten dirt. Because if I were to come and tell you that they stole those sweets, then you would chastise me. So they want you to think that whatever I say is untrue. I never ate dirt. She says, oh, king of pretenders, you think I'm going to believe you when even your elder brother says you've eaten dirt? No, no, Mata, I never ate dirt. In fact, one day Balaram also ate dirt. But he was afraid I was going to tell you. That's why they've come to complain to you. They want me to get in trouble so you won't listen to me, so I won't tell you that they stole sweets, I won't tell you that Balaram ate dirt. Mother Yasoda, she understood the whole situation perfectly. She said, all right, if you didn't eat dirt, open your mouth. So, immediately, He said, yes, I'll open my mouth. When he opened his mouth, there were traces of dirt inside. But then she saw. Now something happened at this point. Because we know that Krishna has unlimited energies who are always waiting to serve him. And Krishna was playing as a little boy, and he was scared of his mother that she was going to beat him. A child in that circumstance will do anything. So he has a very special energy with a very long name. The name of that energy is called Avyahata Aishwarya. Avahati Aishwarya. That means, this energy means that no one can conquer the Supreme Lord because of his opulences. So she decided at that time, this is one of the expansions of Yoga Maya, she decided, I have to help Krishna so he doesn't get smacked. So she decided at that time that when he opened his mouth, she would manifest the entire universe within his mouth. Now, Brahma later, he describes that this universal form that Mother Yasoda saw, it wasn't in that bubble that Prabhupada made. It wasn't outside of Krishna's body. It was in his tanu. It was in his body. And actually, it was in his belly. And Mother Yasoda was seeing through his mouth, into his belly, the entire universe. Now, how can we understand that? The only example I could think of was those of us who live in Vrindavan, those of us who visit Vrindavan, and those of us who've visited some of the holy places in Vrindavan. We've seen Kosi, we've seen Kedarnath, we've seen Badrinath, we've seen Yamunotri, we've seen Gangotri, all within Braj, right? We've seen all those places. But we know that those holy places are in seed form here in Braja. And then they expand outside all over into very large holy places or tirthas. Rameshwaram. In Kamyavan, there's the place where, in order to please the gopis, he made the bridge across the water so they could walk across to sell their milk. That expanded into the huge bridge that connected India to Sri Lanka. So all these holy places in seed form are here in Braj. Now Krishna, because he is the source of the cosmic manifestation, that means the entire cosmic manifestation actually originates within him and then expands outside of him. And then he enters into that cosmic manifestation to perform his pastimes. So simultaneously, the cosmic manifestation is within Krishna, and the cosmic manifestation expands without Krishna, and he enters into that cosmic manifestation. So Mother Yasoda, when she saw that cosmic manifestation, two gonrasa appeared in her mind to nourish her vatsalya bhav. That is vishmai. She was completely astonished. What's in my child's mouth? And another one was bhayanak. She became fearful. What's happening to my child? So as a devotee, not an ordinary devotee, topmost devotee, she has parama bhakti. That was their prayer to Brahmaji. You give us parama bhakti, this vatsalya ras. So in her fearful condition, she began to try to discriminate. Now, is this vision that I'm seeing, is it coming from me? Is it coming from some outside source? Or is it coming from my child? So she discriminated. Now, how could it be coming from me? It can't be a dream. I'm wide awake. I know who I am. I'm doing all my duties. I'm not deranged. So I know that this form, this vision that I'm seeing, is not any defect on my part. And as for some outside influence, this could be coming from the devatas in the form of devamaya. They do have the power to illusion other living entities. But I'm just an ordinary housewife, and I have nothing to do with the demigods. Why would they take their time to put me into illusion? So I don't think it's from any outside source. So most probably, this vision that I'm seeing is from my son. Now, my son, we understand from Garga Muni, he has very special qualities. Other people, they accept him as non-different from Narayan. We know him to be our child. So then, Krishna, because Mother Yasoda now figured out that this vision was coming from her son, he was afraid this might disturb her Vatsalya Ras. If she thinks that I'm something special, then how is she going to chastise me? How is she going to feed me her milk? How is she going to treat me like an ordinary child? So then he decided to cover her again with his yoga maya. And she just like when we wake up and we had a long, complicated dream, when we open up our eyes, we completely forget the dream and we go on with our activities. So this was a type of yoga maya that covered Mother Yasoda at this time. She just completely forgot what she had seen and went on, and again, she didn't chastise him. So we're going to have to see how Krishna finally gets his mother to chastise him. So when Mother Yasoda was in this fearful condition, Lord Brahma, he speaks a lot about this. First of all, we're hearing a lot about Vatsalya Ras. That means on such an elevated platform that the mother, the father, and the elderly well-wishers who have compassion for this completely helpless, tender child, they're thinking, unless I take care of this child, unless I feed this child, how will he live? He'll die without my care. This is from that Vatsalya Ras comes the compassion, the karuna, the anugraha. There's different Sanskrit terms for that. But Krishna, he is Bhakta Vatsala. That's his name, and of all of his qualities, that is his supermost quality, Bhakta Vatsala. This Vatsalya for his devotees. He takes special care of his devotees. And how he does that is, he's always trying to nourish their relationship with him. So when Mother Yasoda became frightened, Brahma describes that a devotee, when something happens in their life and they became frightened, they can't understand, why is this happening to me? Why am I suffering like this? Then they become eligible for mukti. Mukti pada sadaya bhak. It is their inherited right as devotees of the Lord to understand that Krishna is karana karanam. He is the ultimate source of everything. Just as Mother Yasoda, she came to the conclusion that this vision ultimately must be coming from Krishna. And therefore, in our lives, whatever is happening to us, we may try to ascribe, this person has done this to me, I'm suffering like this, whatever it is. But ultimately, everything that happens in our life is coming because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. He's looking after his devotees 100%. Everything in our life, the life of a devotee, is coming directly from Krishna to increase our love for him. And that is how a devotee sees everything in his life. That this is my personal exchange with Krishna. Whatever I'm going through in my life is because Krishna wants me to experience this so that I will take complete shelter of him. So ultimately, this was the lesson that Brahma saw when Mother Yasoda was illusioned, when for a split moment she thought, my child, this is in his mouth, he's something special, he's not just my ordinary little son. And then Krishna immediately had her forget all of that because he didn't want to lose that motherly affection that Mother Yasoda had for him. Now, Pariksha Maharaj, when he heard this pastime, he began to wonder that Devaki, she also fed her breast milk to Krishna. Mother Yasoda, she fed her breast milk to Krishna. But Devaki, she didn't have the opportunity to see these sublime childhood pastimes of Krishna. She was left out. She was kept out. But all of the elderly gopis, Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, they got to see Krishna stealing, his lying, all of his mischief. How is that? Why is it that Mother Yasoda is on such an elevated platform? She became Mahabhaga. That's because, now we have to understand, the pastimes that are presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're like what's called nowadays a trailer. A trailer means there's a big movie. Big movie, and just to give us a little taste for what's in the movie, the highlights are given in the trailer. It's a little 7-minute, maximum 10-minute description of what you're going to see in this movie. So Krishna's pastimes, they're just not a big movie. They're eternal lila. And they're going on in a hidden portion of Vrindavan. We at present time don't have the eyes to see that hidden portion of Vrindavan. But through the literature and the descriptions of the great acharyas, we are given a glimpse of that unmanifested portion of Brajadham, Golokadham. So in this description that Sukadeva Goswami is given to Pariksit Maharaj, some highlights are given of Krishna's pastimes. And those highlights are to give us a motivation to see the whole thing, the whole movie, all the Nitya Lila, actually to enter into that movie. So later it'll be described that Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, they were actually Drona and Dara in the heavenly planets. And when Brahmaji ordered all of the heavenly residents to take birth, to take part in Krishna's lila here, they prayed that let us attain this parama bhakti of Vatsalya Ras, so that all of our pastimes with Krishna will be so attractive that it will attract all the living entities to want to go back to the spiritual world. So when they took birth as Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, the original Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, in the hidden portion of Braja, entered into their form. And they manifest all of these beautiful childhood pastimes. And then later, now this we learn from Jiva Goswami. He describes, when Krishna left Vrindavan, he was feeling such intense separation from the inhabitants of Vrindavan, just as they were feeling separation. And he longed to return, but he had a mission. He had to satisfy his family members, and he had to kill all the demons. So the first demon he killed outside of Braj was Kamsa, and the last demon he killed, now it's not in chronological order in Bhagavatam, the last demon he killed, after this he didn't kill any more demons, was Dantavakra. And then Dantavakra, he had a brother, Vidurata. So those were the last demons. Now Dantavakra, he was a very close friend of Shishupal. And when Shishupal was killed by Krishna in the Rajasuya sacrifice, Dantavakra didn't attend. He was waiting for Krishna to come back to Dwarka, and he decided he was going to kill Krishna on the way, on one-to-one combat with his club. He was such an insane fool, he thought he could kill Krishna. Krishna, in the meantime, had to rush to Dwarka, kill Salga, and then he heard that Dantarakar was waiting for him. So Dantarakar was waiting just outside of Mathura to kill Krishna. He thought, certainly he'll come by this path. So this was Krishna's excuse to finally come back to Mathura Vrindavan. He said, just wait a minute. I just have this one demon I have to kill, and I'll be right back. So he told Dwarka, he said, take my chariot immediately within the lightning flash. They arrived here. He killed Dantavakra with his club. Then he killed Virurata with his chakra. And then he took all of his weapons. He put them in his chariot. He crossed the Jamuna, and he came back to Vrindavan. And all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they had just been keeping the breath air in their bodies till Krishna came back. The first people he saw, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and he embraced them, and they showered him with his tears. And then they fed him, and Mother Yashoda, every time she saw Krishna, even at Kurukshetra when he was a king with all of his queens and all of his infantry and generals, she just saw him as a little child. So again, now Krishna had come back after killing all the demons. Mother Yashoda took him and breastfed him, and again just saw him as a little child. In the interim, to completely fulfill all of the aspects of this Vatsalya Rasa, Mother Yashoda actually went mad. She was talking to the trees. Oh, Kadamba, have you seen my son? Oh, dear, did he go by this way? Oh, little bushes and grasses, did he step on you today? She was asking everyone, where was her son? She would chastise Nanda Maharaj. You think you're a king. Everyone thinks you're a king. You're smiling. You're such a wretched man. You let my son go. And Moha, Nanda Maharaj, in his complete illusion, he said, why are you speaking like this? Your son is standing right in front of you. Don't make my house empty like this. According to Nanda Maharaj, Krishna was right there in their house. So all of these different aspects that are experienced, it seems to be very painful, but this is just to pull out the rust of this Vatsalya between Krishna and his mother and father. So when Krishna finally returned, and all the inhabitants, headed by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they never wanted him to leave again, and he never wanted to leave again. So he sent back a suitable manifestation to Dwarka, and then he arranged that he, Nanda, Yashoda, all of the inhabitants, all the cows, everyone, would re-enter that hidden portion of Goloka and continue their eternal Leela together. And then, although Dara and Drona, they were sadhana bhaktas on the heavenly planets, and they came here, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they entered into them to perform the pastimes. They then went back to the eternal spiritual world to eternally engage in so many loving pastimes with their eternal child, Krishna. Now, there are three types of listeners to the Krishna Leela. Some listeners only want to hear about Braj Leela. They don't care about any other pastimes. It's not interesting to them to hear about Krishna in Dwarka, in Mathura. It just breaks their heart because Krishna is outside of Braj. And then there are the city dwellers who they like to, they don't mind hearing about the Braj Leela, but they like to hear about Krishna when he's with the family, he's doing so many glorious things. Those are the city dweller devotees. And then there are devotees who like to hear all of the pastimes. They're happy whatever Krishna's doing. So these different types of devotees, they become enthused by hearing different pastimes. Now, Sukadev Goswami, he is taking us through the entire description of Krishna's pastimes when he pretended to be an ordinary human being on this planet. And we will become naturally attracted to particular pastimes. And the process, how to enter into those pastimes according to that rasa that we're experiencing with Krishna, are the same for all the devotees. And that is these different principles of knowledge, beginning with brahmacharya and then sama. Sama means to control the mind. The way we control the mind is through the Maha Mantra, the chanting of Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, beginning from Pariksha Maharaj, who told Kali, you can't live anywhere where these four principles are being followed, brahmacharya, then to control the mind, we have the Maha Mantra. To chant the Maha Mantra effectively, we have to follow the four regulative principles. So after sama comes dhamma, that means controlling our senses. So we have to control what we eat, we have to control our activities. Then whatever we have in our possession, tyaktva, we have to use that all in Krishna's service. And we have to give in charity to all of Krishna's different activities, all of his different types of service. And then we have to be truthful, we have to be clean. All of these activities, just as you can have a garden, and in that garden, you can plant so many different types of seeds. And the watering, the same water, the same soil, but each seed will sprout according to the type of seed it is. So one seed, our seed of bhakti, that might be in Dasyaras, that might be in Sakyaras, that might be in Madhuryaras. As we chant very attentively, not doing anything else, not surfing, not watching something, not reading a book. Some people think, because Prabhupada says, chant and read. There was one devotee in Prabhupada's house. She would chant and read at the same time. He said, no, Mataji, you chant or you read. So, oh, but Prabhupada says chant and read. No, you don't chant and read at the same time. You have to chant very attentively, listening to each syllable. Because each syllable, Krishna, Radharani, they're dancing on our tongues. And when we're chanting japa, nowadays another fashion, these machines, right? The machines. I don't have time to chant, I have to drive, right? So I'll use a machine. No, that's not the way to chant your rounds. We're given our Tulsi Mala by our Guru Maharaj. Why? Because when you're touching Tulsi, Tulsi is always at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. You are touching the lotus feet of your beloved. So this chanting process must be done very carefully. Otherwise you won't get the result. Now here we are in Vrindavan, in the perfect place. We have the Maha Mantra given by our Guru. We have our Japa Mala given by our Guru. We should take advantage and let our bhakti seeds sprout by this watering process. And eventually, just as so many different types of devotees were allowed to enter into these pastimes while manifest on this earthly planet, some of them were groups like the Munis, some of them were sadhana bhakti, bhaktas, all different places they were coming from. But at the end of these pastimes, they were allowed to enter into that eternal hidden place of Goloka Vrindavan, where those pastimes are going on eternally, where we never have to return to this miserable material world. Well, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Why sometimes? Come close. Yes, they're not supposed to. During Srimad Bhagavatam class, those rounds don't count. You can chant all you want, but the rounds don't count. You have to listen attentively during Srimad Bhagavatam class. Right? Yes, Mataji. Come up here, because I won't be able to understand you. I'm sorry. You can speak your question in there. I'll try, but... Bad times?
Past times?
Well, this is a many, many lifetimes process. Just like these sakas, for many, many lifetimes, they performed these austerities. And finally, they were able to enter into the pastimes of the Lord. So that's up to us. If we can get through this lifetime following the four relative principles, chanting our prescribed number of rounds, we don't immediately go back to Godhead. There's an interim birth, and that is when we get to take part in these pastimes when Krishna goes from universe to universe. And we get further training by the Nitya Siddha Bhaktas who have come with Krishna from Goloka Vrindavan. So it's 8,400,000 species of life we've gone through. We finally come to the human species of life. If we use it properly, then lifetime, bahunam janmanam ante, gyanavamam prabhadyante, vasudeva saramiti, samahatma sudurlaba. Many, many births we've taken till we become perfected. Now, we're so fortunate. That means those persons sitting, listening to Srimad Bhagavatam class, how many lifetimes they've been through to be able to sit in this holy dham in the Krishna Balaram temple and hear the 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Leela. Uncounted number of lifetimes to come to that platform. And to be able to go on further. In this lifetime, if we can perfect this process of sadhana bhakti, then we'll be able to enter in and get further training from the Nitya Siddhas who came with Krishna. Yes.
Yes.
Right. Everywhere. Everything. But directly, because he's Bhakta Vatsala. He takes care directly.
So this thing like sometimes people use for their whatever they are doing. And this is what we're doing and vibration. And they do whatever they like.
They do whatever they like? And they'll have to suffer the consequences for whatever they do. And we've seen that in our own movement. Nobody gets away with any. Krishna sees everything that we do. We all know right from wrong. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Oh, you have a question? Yes, he describes that. No, not very. Who's on that platform?
Basically, he was saying a lot of times people's devotees and others heard something about Krishna at the time of his death, and they asked him, where did she go from?
Wonderful. Yes, yes.
Well, they're different in the spiritual world, they're different places. If you want to go to Vaikuntha, then you can worship the Lord in a majestic form. And there are so many different types of Vaikuntha. Even Jesus Christ has his own Vaikuntha planet. So they're different types of Vaikuntha planets. But if you want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, then that's a very special thing. You have to get special training for that. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.